as if they foreshadow, ask elected members if they foresee any items where there might be a conflict of interest on the agenda. Can't see any there, so keep going. Someone like to move confirmation of the minutes for last general council meeting? Moved, Councillor Masika, thank you. Seconded, Councillor Telfer. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. I just have to check with Councillor Hutchinson, who's looking a bit frozen on the screen. Might be a question of connection there. So we'll just have to keep an eye on that. Yes, that's his vote coming in a bit late, but it's like a postal vote, still counted after the day. So communications, so there's an opportunity for elected member verbal communications. Councillor Hull.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, just following on from our informal discussion before the meeting, I'd just like to indicate that the state election was a good outcome for the suburb of Warradale, with two significant election pledges, one being the Warradale Park Tennis Club, that I know you're familiar with, Mr. Mayor. I think that's about $500,000 worth of investment. Some of it's, I've got to clarify, some of it's pending a successful win for the federal Labor government. However, still, having said that, there's still state money committed as well. And the other one is to the Ballarra Park Reserve, which the council's currently doing final planning for a major upgrade. So that could complement itself quite well if the means all line up. And we'll know in full only by the end of May when the federal election's been and gone. But for Warradale in particular, oddly enough, it's shaping up very nicely, Mr. Mayor, in terms of the possible election funding programs in Warradale in its own right. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other verbal reports? Perhaps I can just follow on then in this segment to congratulate everyone who ran for office in the state election. Particular congratulations to those who were successful. Looking at it in a completely apolitical way, the fact is that there were millions of dollars of promises from Labor candidates, so the successful transition to a Labor government will mean there'll be numerous projects to follow up with them. So I've begun by sending out letters of congratulations to both Liberal and Labor MPs elected, and I'll be following up those funding promises in due course, without indecent haste. All right, let's move on to the next item. It's really just to move that the reports be received and noted. Moved by Councillor Duncan, thank you, and seconded Councillor Pryor. All those in favour, raise your hand. It's carried unanimously, thank you. And turning to the minutes of the Planning and Development Committee, someone like to move confirmation of the minutes? Moved, Councillor Hutchinson, seconded Councillor Masika. Just any questions or comments? Then I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously, thank you. Very well, we'll go on to Marion City Band on page 27. Someone to move, Councillor Valescu.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'd like to move it in two parts. First of all, I'd like to move as is with the agreement with the annual funding, and then I'll would like to move separately for the $10,000 payment.
Thank you, Councillor. By way of procedure, we'll just deal with the motion as printed, as recommended by staff, which is what you've said, and then if that motion is successful, I'll come back to you for an additional motion. Now, Councillor Crossland, is that a point of order?
Procedural. I'd like to move that we suspend standing orders and actually discuss this item in a bit more detail.
Well, Councillor Valescu had the call and he's entitled to speak to his motion. So let us do that and then I'll take your call. The only thing that would have superseded it really was a point of order. And so let's hear Councillor Valescu and then I'll come straight back to you, Councillor Crossland. And which, and I mean, there's nothing wrong with it, but I just think that should we should give Councillor Valescu his say first.
Thank you. Look, I think the Marion Band has been a stalwart of the council area for quite a long time. They have missed out due to COVID. They've missed out on a lot of events over the last couple of years. They have expanded. They've included more women now. It's almost even, maybe a little bit more, are involved. And they play at various events around the council area, but they also compete at other levels as well. And I think when we look at how much we spend on sport, supporting sport in the area, this is a small amount to pay in regard to supporting our band. So, I understand there's some people are concerned about the facility, but really, once we compare that to sport, it is quite minimal. So I call on you to support this motion as is. And then if people want to discuss the suggestion for an extra one-off payment, then that's a different matter. Also like to note that the payment wasn't hidden in, it wasn't evened out between five and thrown in there. It was actually quite upfront. So I think that's a positive as well. And, we hear the Marine Band at various events. So, and I believe they're going to be at Anzac Day Vigil. So, I'd like us to be able to support them.
All right. Now, before I come back to Councillor Crossland's motion, I just want to check in. Councillor Masika, what can you say in one sentence? What is it that you want to do? Are you seconding or what?
No, before I do a seconding, I wanted to ask administration a question before coming back to second the motion. Oh,
all right. No, just hold that thought for a moment, please, Councillor. And same with Councillor Hull. I'll come back to Councillor Crossland's motion now that we suspend standing orders. So do you want to go ahead and move that, Councillor Crossland?
Yes, I'd like to move that because I think we've got a couple of things that are important. Number one, paying volunteers to be on a committee. I'd like to confirm that that's what council's position is. Secondly, that we are going to start looking at CPI increases. And is that going to be across the board, especially when we look at rates? And also, if it is fair that we particularly sponsor this, I know Councillor Valescu wants to draw a connection with sporting facilities. I'd prefer to correlate it with the environment.
Yeah, I mean, they do seem to be matters of debate, but let's put the motion. You're moving that we suspend standing orders to have that discussion. That's seconded by Councillor Hull. Is that right, Councillor? No? You're in the queue for something else. All right. Seconded Councillor Duncan. So I'll put the motion to suspend standing orders. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. That's carried by majority. So Councillor Crossland, you've listed those various issues. How do you imagine that we could discuss that constructively as a group? Do you want to take it one by one or?
One by one. Let's look at the CPI first of all, whether that's going to be a council position with increases, because that obviously looks like that could roll on to other things down the track. If we think that we are going to stick with CPI, so I think we should start uncoupling ourselves from CPI increases.
Right. Well, certainly that is one of your points in debate, but I suppose, does anyone want to chip in? I guess with the art gallery and, sorry, Gallery M, I should be saying Red House, and the band, I guess traditionally they have been CPI increases, but as Councillor Crossland points out, doesn't have to be. Anyone want to expose on that particular
point? Sorry, Your Worship. Could you just confirm that? Because I thought that didn't get added in until the last agreement. I didn't think it was. It had been in there all the time.
Are any of the staff here? Have any of the staff here been around long enough to know the history of the agreements? Certainly, my impression was that CPI was usually added.
Might
need checking, but Mr. Lyons?
I'm not familiar enough with the Red House arrangement, but I understand that the existing arrangement with the Marion City Band had CPI for each of the years in the last 5 years.
All right. Councillor Gard, you wanted to speak to that?
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, I've had some discussion with both Councillor Crossland and management yesterday, and it wasn't opening on this subject, but we did quickly progress to it. And I think one of the things we're going to experience in general with CPI is that there'll be argument over whether it is a representative, fair way of increasing whatever payment. And that's due to runaway trains such as fuel and real estate. And so the definition of CPI, or the definition of the basket of goods, becomes an issue. And of course, we then face precedent. So to me, I think our hand and that of many others has been forced in the sense that we have to become more scientific about the way we go about review, and we have to be pretty incisive as to what costs are incurred by an entity and what sort of increases they might face on those costs.
All right.
And I imagine this is going to be upon us very quickly.
Well, what is sounding like to me is that this is an appropriate matter for an amendment if Councillor Crossland thinks that we shouldn't apply CPI. I should say, it's pretty obvious, but we are dealing with the band here and now. The fact that we're doing this for the band doesn't mean that we apply CPI for anything and everything else. And it may or may not be appropriate for other groups, people, whatever. So I think we have to confine it to the band. We simply don't have a general policy that we're going to raise everything by CPI when we see it. So if that's being suggested, that's not right. But in terms of talking about the band, it sounds like the appropriate way to proceed would be to go by way of amendment. And sorry, Councillor Gard, I think we should, you had a go, and I think we should try and steer it. The Mayor's made his point very well, so no need to add to it. I think we need to move on to Councillor Crossland's other points. What's next, Councillor Crossland?
Councillor Hull had his hand up.
All right, yes, go ahead, Councillor Hull. Go ahead, Councillor Hull. You need to unmute.
Oh, I think that's a no. My next point was I'm not sure that there are any other community groups that pay honoraria to different committee members. I'm sure it would be something that a lot of our volunteer groups would enjoy. I'm not in favour of paying that to a committee. And again, I just wonder why they were different to other community groups.
I think that probably does need clarification, because I don't believe the honorarium is paid for membership of the committee. It's paid to the artistic directors of each of the bands. So those people have to have a degree of professional experience and expertise. So that's what's recognised in the honorarium. I really don't believe it's because they're head of the committee. When I know that some of the sporting clubs, when they get big enough, they'll actually employ someone. They'll pay them to be an events manager or membership coordinator or something or other. So it's not unheard of, but it is unusual for council to be funding honoraria, but then we only really fund in that way. We only fund the Marion City Band, Red House Group. I can't think of any other comparable sort of arrangement, so it's getting into a fairly unique category. But
I think it opens it up that a lot of sporting groups want to pay professional coaches. They struggle to find those fees, and I just think this could be another possibility that we could look at.
Okay, so you're inviting others to comment on that point, Councillor Valescu and Councillor Telfer.
Yeah, sporting clubs pay players. Unfortunately, it's just the male players, but at certain levels, players get a payment as well.
Yeah, I think most of the footy clubs do at some point or other, yeah.
So, yeah, I think sometimes, you know, there are those costs. If it's a director, a music director, or someone with certain expertise, but, you know, just to get a sitting fee, definitely would be opposed to that, unless they're getting in an auditor or something. But, yeah, if it's a sitting fee, definitely something we shouldn't be supporting. However, I think it's more than that. I can't really draw the comparison.
I think the comparison I was trying to make,
Order, please. Councillor Crossland, you must please wait for the mayor to give you the call rather than everyone just jumping in. This meeting will not work that way. Councillor Telfer?
We have, over time, probably, I know, since 2000, paid the band director, which is the conductor, for their a little bit. An honorarium, and it's the only band we've got. It's not unusual. If we looked at the Glenelg and became Holfast Band, they would have similar arrangements in place. Otherwise, you do not have the conductors and leadership and directorship that you require.
Thank you. Councillor Duncan was next.
I just question the council having to pay for all of the leading, you know, for the people that lead the bands, because I belong to a singing group and the participants actually pay for the coaching and the teaching for the whole leading of the whole group. So I don't see why the band can't do that too. And one event that I went to, I've been to a couple of events with the Marion Band, and they were very good at one, and the second one wasn't very good at all because they didn't have any leadership anyway. So if we're paying for leadership, they should be there at every event as far as I'm concerned.
Yes, I note in the report that it talks about paying certain band directors for 5 hours a week. I'd be surprised if they didn't put in more than that. But Mr. Lyons or any of the other staff, can you advise the nature of the honorarium, the justification for it?
Through the chair, I thought the email that Ms. Fialtonetti sent out last night was very accurate in the 5 hours per week split across three bands for professional services. I also note that that's a decision that the MCB, the Marion City Band, has elected to make, and I suspect in their wisdom they need to make that. We are simply making a payment to the MCB. We're not necessarily paying that honorarium. We are making a payment, and it's essentially up to their judgment as to how they need to spend their monies.
So I think in terms of resolving the issue that's been raised, the way to proceed would be for people who want to, who think that there should be no honorarium of any kind supported by council, I would suggest voting against the motion before us. So, Councillor Crossland, I think when we get back into formal proceedings, that would be the way to go. And then if the motion's defeated, there could be an alternative motion which excludes the amount which is notionally set aside for honoraria. So that would be probably the neatest way to resolve any objections. Councillor Crossland, what's your next point?
Just to respond to, first of all, Councillor Valescu, he sort of made my exact point. There's a lot of clubs that do sport. There's a lot of clubs that have hobbies. They have costs such as uniform, kit. They pay coaches. They pay professionals. But they have to fundraise to pay those bills. They would love, I'm sure, the opportunity to have their uniforms and kit paid for, as well as pay their coaches, because that's what makes a lot of these kids' sports very expensive. So I just wanted to clarify that we do think this is a good idea. And that's not a problem. Yeah,
you can save that for debate as well. What's your next point?
Oh, look, I think that's the main points.
All right, those two. So what I've suggested then to, we'll resume standing orders, but I will definitely come to you for an amendment in relation to the CPI, if you wish to pursue that, and make it clear that if people object to payment of honorarium, the neatest way to proceed would probably be to defeat this motion, and then we'll entertain another one, which might be support for the band at a lesser amount. The alternative is you could, if it's only those two issues, Councillor Crossan, you could also test it by deducting a certain amount, but that's only if you can work it out on the spot, you know, as to what the deduction would be. If you have, I don't know, if you can have a quick look at the report and the email, you might be able to do that. Now, before, I'm just on the verge of resuming standing orders, and I'll go to Councillor Masika to second the motion, but I've got Councillor Hull's hand up. So what did you want to raise, Councillor?
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, I didn't see Councillor Masika's hand up. I intended to second the motion.
Oh, no, he was in first. So Councillor Masika, did you wish to speak to seconding the motion?
Thanks, Your Worship. You know, I've attended so many events for the Marion City Band. And what I can say, look, Marion City Band allows students a chance to practice emotions, find motor skills, discipline, rigor, and persistence. So, you know, that band being there and being supporting member of the community to learn the music, it provided them with the discipline and also laid up how to be the good team members within the community. So with that reasons, I have all legitimate reason to support her for this motion. And for the band to be given that small token of $37,000, it's not much compared to what they are doing. And it's not a unique situation. Also in the churches, I've seen directors being paid to play, the organ, but the other community leaders in the church, they are not being paid. It's equally the same for this Marion City Band. So I'm second the motion the way it is, and let's move on and support up the band.
All right. Perhaps I'll come to you, to Councillor Crossland, with to speak against or amendment. Up to you.
No, I'll just let it go and wait to see what the council decides.
All right. Are there any other speakers against? Well, then, we will simply go to the vote. All those in favour of the motion as printed, put up your hand, please. Those against, please put up your hand. The motion is carried by majority. So now we go back to Councillor Valescu. You had an additional motion, Councillor.
Yes, look, I'd like to test whether we want to include a one-off payment to effectively subsidise the equipment purchase to some extent. It buys two-thirds of a tuba at $16,500 or $16,000. So I thought I would separate the two, something that I do support. However, members may have a different view. I just urge members, it's something they need. It's going to last a while. It's a professional piece of capital equipment. I would urge people to support it.
So, Councillor Valescu, there's a motion or some wording drafted in the body of the report. I presume you're moving it in that form?
Yes, that's right.
Ms. Moritz, you've got that? Very good. I think we can all see it there in the report. Is that seconded, Councillor Hull?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll second this. Look, we're talking about quite a small amount of money. Now, I know some of my colleagues aren't going to agree with me tonight, and I hope we can respect our opinions. But the arts and culture in our city gets a smidgen of the budget compared to sport. And what makes me feel more comfortable about it, Mr. Mayor, as opposed to some of the reports we hear back from our sporting clubs, and I'll read it out, it's on page 27. The Marion City Band has been operating efficiently, has no debt, has generated $10,500 profit over the last two years, and the project further profits in the following years. Mr. Mayor, if all of our sporting clubs could do that, or any of our other entities, such as you mentioned before, the Red House, which I'm a liaison on, we would be pretty happy with that. And I think Councillor Masika captured the importance of it to of the band to our city. It identifies our city. It does allow opportunity for those who otherwise would not have access to express themselves musically, something that I'll never be able to do, Mr. Mayor, because I just don't have the ability. The other thing is that it actually allows some of these people to venture near and far. Our band goes away, as you know, Mr. Mayor, and I think that that's good as well. I'd only like to say two things extra, and that Councillor Telfer is not quite right. It's not our only band. I think we're talking about at least two bands in this report, and all under the umbrella of this funding. And I'd also like to indicate that in terms of our budget, this is quite a small amount. It's $10,000 in this case, but when you actually add it together with the $37,900, mind you, this admittedly over 5 years, it's still quite a small amount per annum to contribute. I urge councillors to support this.
Councillor, before I go on, it was unnecessary to correct Councillor Telfer. I think she was referring to the Marion City Band, including its component bands. I thought that was pretty clear in the context. Now, is anyone speaking against? Councillor Duncan, I think.
I just have a question. I was wondering why the band doesn't apply for the community grants. Is there any reason why they can't?
For this month? They're not, community grants aren't ongoing and generally not awarded more than once. But if we're talking about the $10,000, I understand that's what you mean.
Correct.
So could they, in theory, Mr. Lyons? Or?
Yeah, Mayor and Councillor Duncan, that's an excellent point, and that's something that staff actually recommend. The band asked for the CPI increases and the 10K, and staff's judgment were that the CPI was reasonable, but the 10K, they are actually very solvent. They're doing a great job of their debts. So we offered to help them apply for grant funding, and the community grants would be one of them. I agree.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Councillor Duncan, did you want to take the opportunity to speak to the motion?
What I asked was fine, thank you.
All right, thank you. So I haven't actually technically had a speaker against, so Councillor Crossland, would you like to proceed?
Yeah, it's sort of a follow-on from Councillor Duncan. It's quite clear in the report that they can apply for grant funding. I'm sure that if we paid all our other clubs $37,000 a year, they'd be in profit. So that could be easily done. And I'm sure if we paid for all our uniforms and kit, they'd also be turning a profit. I don't see why we need to give them an extra $10,000, especially when they're getting cheap rent, $37,000 a year, which will rise quite quickly to over $40,000.
Very well. Anyone else speaking in favour of the motion? If not, the mover, Councillor Blescu, opportunity to reply.
I'd just like to point out that if they were to apply for a grant and were successful, that's $10,000, which other clubs would miss out on. So I guess if we do support it this way, it still provides that money for other organisations within our community, so they don't miss out.
All right, putting it to the vote, all those in favour, raise your hand, please. All those against, raise your hand, please. Can I just check? I've got 11 votes. Is there a councillor absent?
Yes.
Just a... Yes?
Ms. Yes, Councillor Schilling is absent.
Oh, of course, I should have noticed, but just looking at the sea of faces on the screen. The motion is carried by majority. So
I request a division, please.
Division called, Councillor Crossland. So once again, hands up if you're in favour, please. So they are Councillors Valescu, Hull, Masika, Hutchinson and Mason. You may put your hands down. Those against, put your hands up, please. Councillors Telfer, Crossland, Duncan, Clancy, Councillor Gard, and Councillor Pryor. Sorry, so that's five, six and five. Councillor Gard, you're in the affirmative. You were, yes.
Correct.
Ms. McKenzie, is that all in order? 6-5 in favour? So the motion is carried on the division. And we can continue. Page 62, heritage interpretation signage, Councillor Telfer. Yes, you're on.
I'll move as per the recommendation that we consider the three places for the interpretive signs and that this obviously is part of an unfunded initiatives that would be listed as suggested alongside the Heritage Museum. So, these are spread throughout the city and we look forward to being able to interpret our city. It does sound a lot of money, but if you do signage for each of them, it's about just over 30,000. So it's worth interpreting what we've got in terms of our stories throughout the city.
Thank you. Is that seconded? Councillor Crossland? Did you wish to speak, Councillor Crossland? Very well, it's been seconded. Although, is there anyone speaking against, please? Then I'll simply put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That is carried unanimously. Thank you very much. Page 65, Marion Outdoor Pool Heating System, Councillor Blescu.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'd like to proceed with endorsing the option two, the electrical system. It points out here quite easily that there's a substantial saving over 15 years. It breaks even at 7.2. And even if there were a substantial increase in electricity prices, it will still be a better financial option. And also using electricity allows us to look at direct renewable sources in the future, as opposed to trying to offset the pollution from gas. So, members, I ask for your support in this motion.
Thank you. Is that seconded? Then Councillor Hull.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is a good initiative, and I, in seconding it, I'd like to ask a couple of questions if I could.
Sure.
In terms of getting the most out of this proposal, moving to electric heat pump is certainly a good move away from gas because it helps us meet our carbon neutral plan. But is there potential on the site or nearby for us to put more solar panels up to actually make the operation as close to carbon neutral as possible, given that this is one of our biggest energy users, be it gas or electricity, it's still a big energy user. So can I have an answer to that question?
Yes, I mean, I'll just note a word of caution about the way that people have used carbon neutral around the council. Often what is meant is minimising carbon emissions, which is actually a different thing. But who would like to answer? Mr. Lyons, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. And Councillor Hull, great question, which we're genuinely excited about that space. What we've done is two things. We've put up this report as is because the project is justified on its own standing, i.e. the electrical is a better outcome. So our recommendation is to go down this track. The solar for the site is a separate review that Ms. Gibbons is going through at a number of sites as part of the carbon neutral plan. I haven't been able to report it as part of this agenda, but we will, and if we can, we will add solar to that site.
Thank you. So it's on the drawing board. Councillor Hull, another question?
No, nothing more to add, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, well, and anything else in seconding or?
Nothing else to add, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hull. Anyone speaking against or questions? Then I will put it to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand. That is carried unanimously. Thank you. So now on to Morford Bill, page 68, Morford Bill Glengarry Horse-Related Activities Code Amendments, Planning Code Change. The critical element here being that where the objective is to encourage horse stables to move to exit the residential suburb and move onto the racecourse proper, the question is where you draw the boundaries and give the same opportunity for somewhat higher densification to surrounding residents as well. So the proposal of staff is more or less a nice neat block, and that's the basis of it, I think. So anyone to move accordingly? Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, I have questions, and I seek your indulgence. Yeah, sure. I have three questions. In terms of the scope of the site, you know, the boundaries, were the residents of the new area, and that is the bit in the middle, consulted about this as part of that consultation process?
No, there was an initial consultation.
Yeah.
And that informed the, what's it called, statement of intent that went to the minister earlier. They wouldn't have been consulted again about this modification to the statement of intent. And by the way, I don't know why we didn't come up with what we're coming up with now months ago when we did the original one. So it's another question. But the conclusion, what I was going to say, Councillor Hull, is that if we go ahead and ask the minister to accept a modification to the statement of intent, then what that triggers is a process involving consultation with every one of those people you're asking about. But I'll ask staff to fully answer that. Thank you. Is that Mr. Mel Hewish or Mr. Del Coombs? Thank you.
Thank you, through the chair. You're exactly right, Mayor, to answer the question. They would have received the initial correspondence that we were intending to in the area. I'm seeing in the bottom of my screen a shaking of the head from Mr. Mel Hewish. Maybe it was only the particular areas in that zone that got the letter. However, it's really up to council at this point. It's a statement of intent, so they would receive the consultation material that we go out to. There'll be a period of consultation that we could make the changes to or not. So they will get a chance to have their say on more than one occasion, should we proceed with expanding the area this evening.
Thank you. It sounds like we better go back to Mr. Mel Hewish then to clarify who received that initial consultation letter before the first statement of intent was submitted.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Initially, what we did was we notified everybody that was in the original horse-related, or the Mufferville Racecourse residential zone. So it was just those two pockets where the Mufferville residential zone was. As part of the further, they were the ones who were notified initially, but as part of further analysis, we decided that it was probably best to include those other portions that we're now talking about including. As Mr. Dulla Coombs said, that was an informal notification that we did previously, really had, that's not part of the code amendment process, but we thought we'd do it anyhow to get a feeling of, from the stable owners, because they were the ones this was all started with. But now that we may be changing the brief, the people, if the people in the middle are included, they will be notified, as will everyone else. Everybody that's in the new affected area would be notified, and their responses taken.
All right, thank you. So thanks for the clarification of the Mayor's remarks, because I knew there was an early letter that went out to everyone, including stables and residents, but it wasn't everybody in the block that's designated in the current version of the proposal. But the other part of that question, well, which I added, Mr. Mulhewish, if staff have done the analysis to say, instead of applying the changes to the stable zone, which is kind of a patchwork piece which covers bits of stables and some residential as well, I believe, then why wasn't the analysis done to begin with so that the initial statement of intent covered this area that staff now think it should? Mr. Mulhewish.
Yeah, thank you, Matt. To be honest with you, I think we were just looking at rezoning the original. I think what it was that the area we're now intending to include is in the general neighbourhood zone, and we thought that it would actually look after itself. But after analysing different allotment sizes, we've discovered that it's actually beneficial for that area in the middle as well as the ones that carry the stables. So it really wasn't noticed in the first instance because they were already general neighbourhood, and we thought they could have appropriately redeveloped themselves. But when we found that, or when we looked at it, we noticed that the allotment sizes in there were pretty much the same as the area where the stables are, and they potentially could be helped, if you like, to further develop.
Yeah, if I can just add to that.
Thank you, Mr.
To clarify, staff are invited to a meeting to attend a stakeholder workshop with some of the members of SAJC and surrounding residents where this idea was put forward. And subsequent to that meeting, staff were instructed to form up the groundings of a code amendment for those zones, which we did and sort of expediently and put to council as soon as we could. So I guess that's the nature of analysis, is that we were given some instructions to create this code amendment, started that process, further undertook our analysis, and which has led us to this point that we find ourselves now. Thank you.
Right. And you can understand why these planning things go to a planning committee first, because that's where the details are taken apart and you look at different parts of the map and so on. It's not so easy to do it in a whole general council meeting. But Councillor Hull, did you have further questions?
I do, Mr. Mayor. Obviously, the answer to the question I was just given raises other questions, but I'll stick with the ones that I have. How many individual stables are currently on the SAJC land that we hope that stables will transfer to across the road in Bray Street there? How many are over there now, individual stables, that is owned by individual horse trainers?
Mr. Dulla Coombs?
Yeah, thank you, through the chair. Look, I don't have those numbers front of mind. They have been in earlier reports on this matter. As it stands, there's in the order of approximately 50 stables on course. They've got an application in with us at the moment to expand up to 100, I believe. And I believe they're looking for this code amendment to help get support from those stables surrounding to seek justification to expand that further. So whatever plans they have there now, leave them the ability to expand their stables further. And they are looking for, some level of commitment from the community where the stables are located in order to justify spending that that capital to invest in new stables.
So you see, Councillor Hull and others, there's a parallel process here. There would be no point doing the code amendment unless SAJC were going to build additional stables on course, but they don't want to commit capital to build additional stables on course unless there's some encouragement for stable owners in the residential areas to actually move out and move on course. So if you can see that. But you have another question, go ahead.
Yeah, well, Mr. Mayor, that's why I asked that last question. The other question is, can stables be developed in this area? In other words, new stable applications in the current area, including the new area in the middle. In other words, if, for example, a horse trainer does not want to locate on the SAJC land, which is their prerogative, can they actually apply to have a new stable built in the zone that we're looking at creating, anywhere in that zone?
Mr. McHewish.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think the short answer is yes, they can if they put an application in. But the thing is that what's happened when the Morfordville Racecourse residential zone was transitioned to the code was that all reference to horses, horse stabling, etc., was taken out. So it just became the neighbourhood zone. And so there's no reference to horses. So if someone wants to expand, say, an existing stable complex in the area, then they can, and it would be assessed on its merits. Whereas before, the desired character actually said that there were meant to be stables in the area, et cetera, that no longer exists even under the current zone in the code. So changing it to another zone isn't going to make any difference to that. It's just that if someone, like any other type of development, if someone wants to put an application in, they can. Whether they get approval or not, it's another thing. It all comes down to merit.
So in other words, it would be no different someone applying in one of these streets that's in that rectangle, the subject of the proposed changes, that's currently a residential block and a stable owner wants to expand or a new one move in. They're in the same position as if they wanted to put a horse stable in the middle of Warradale. And good luck with that, I suppose, is the usual common saying. Mr. Delacombe, you wanted to add to that?
Thank you, Mayor. Through the chair, just wanted to respond again. This some of this has been debated and covered previously in previous reports, an explanation on the concept of existing use rights. And so staff have made sure to explain that in our correspondence and any communication with those residents who don't wish to go on course, that they will have existing use rights protecting the use of their site to an extent. Obviously, expansion and new stables would be assessed on their merit. And as I've mentioned previously, issues such as noise, amenity, and that kind of thing would be taken into account. So,
and odour.
Correct.
Very well. I'm looking for someone to move a motion. Councillor Valescu.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, this was discussed at the Planning Committee as well. I wouldn't like to see a high level of extra development in the area, but, the the guidelines in the report actually look at avoiding some of the less desirable aspects that could be in place. So the sort of block dwellings that we don't want, by having some of those minimum frontage requirements. Also does create a bit of an incentive, I guess, a financial incentive for those that do have stables to move out. It's not too restrictive in that sense. By moving this forward, we do actually start a process where we'll consult with community as well on this. So, and it does make sense to include the whole area. And I, as I said, I am cognizant of the you know, the traffic onto Austral Terrace and also on Bray Street as well. So I don't see a lot of subdivision happening, especially not in the short term, but it would be good to get those stables out there, out of there. Thank you.
Very well, was that seconded? Councillor Clancy.
Thank you, Mayor Hannah. I second this motion. It allows the stable owners to move if they choose and able to sell their properties. We've also gone for a zone that is not going to result in the sub-developments that we've seen in the agenda, as the allotments have to be a minimum of 8 metres frontage. And of course, it's going out to consultation. So yeah, this is the first step of part of the process.
Very well. Anyone speaking against? Councillor Hull?
Mr Mayor, I'm going to remain consistent about this. I did not support the transition of the former horsekeeping zone to the current zone, as Mr Malhuish indicated. On that note, Mr Malhuish may well be the only one that I can see on this screen that would have been around when we actually had all those stables issues years ago. That was quite a protracted and difficult affair that we actually come up with the horsekeeping zone, which brought some stability to the area in terms of development. I'm concerned returning back to those days because there's no guarantee that all the horsekeepers are actually going to be happy to be tenants of the SAJC. And some of them haven't been in the past, I know that. And if that was the case, then we would have more stable development applications. And in a bigger area, in particularly the bit in the middle where currently they don't have stables. They might have one, I think, from memory, looking at the map. And therein comes those demarcation issues between residential development and horsekeeping. The smells, the manure littering the streets, the floats, and all of that that I was so familiar with, and Mr. Malhuish would recall. I'm concerned about that. I'm also concerned in terms of process. If I was one of those residents in the middle that wasn't consulted, as all the other areas were, either side, I'd be pretty miffed. And I see that as a process issue that may well come back to haunt the council, even though they weren't obliged to do it. We can't demonstrate that we consulted them. And those, that group, that cohort in the middle, where there's no stables, they're most likely to be the ones that will have concerns. It speaks for itself. And I think I've made my point, Mr. Mayor. I will be seeking a division on this. I don't want my name attached to it because I think you have to actually learn from
you,
the previous experiences, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Time is up. Very well. Any other speakers in favour? Councillor Valescu, if you wish to respond.
Yeah, I do have a question. If there is overwhelming community disapproval of this, is this something that can be stopped?
Well, it's something that can be stopped. It hasn't even started yet, is the point, that there is no decision to rezone. It's just seeking permission from the minister to start the process, and the start of the process after that is to consult people. Mr. Do you want to confirm that?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. You're entirely right. This is to seek amendments to the statement of proposal that we've already submitted. The next phase would be an extensive range of community consultation from which council could again have decision points to adopt, reject, amend the policy further before seeking amendments or completely forget about it. So, yep, decision points for council remain.
All right, Councillor Blesky, the call is still with you to respond.
Thank you, Mr. Coonson. Thank you, Your Worship. Look, I think it's worth exploring. It's putting it out and explaining to the community why we're looking at this. The likelihood of a significant amount of stable owners going on to Morfordville. Also some of the issues with horses in the streets. And also, as I said before, you know, being leaving a nostalgic reminder that they've been there. So I think that's going to be a positive. So members, yeah, let's start the process. Let's put it out there, see what the community thinks. And we haven't confirmed or anything as yet. We'll see what happens.
Very well, I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour? All those against? Carried by majority. Division called by Councillor Hull. So just take that again. If people could put their hands up if they're in favour, please, until I've called all the names. Councillors Telfer, Valescu, Duncan, Masika, Hutchinson, Gard, Mason, Pryor, Crossland and Clancy. Those against, put up your hand. Councillor Hull, motion's carried on the division. So we can move on. Page 89, public interest disclosure policy. We had a good discussion at the members forum about this. Someone to move? Councillor Duncan, thank you. Wish to speak to it? Seconded by Councillor Masika, thank you. Do you wish to speak to it? Then anyone speaking against or with a question, Councillor Gard?
Yes, just on page 96, there's an exclusion of the section stating any other offence. And I'm just wondering, is there any other area in this document that actually does the work that clause or sub-clause is now not going to be doing?
Might be another legislation. Ms. McKenzie, what's the answer?
Through the chair, I think this has been excluded because it's part of the Criminal Law Consolidation Act, so it comes in as a separate piece. So we've had this legally checked as well, so we're confident that we've captured everything that needs to be within this policy.
Thank you.
Councillor Hull, question or speaking against?
It's a question, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, on 10.7 on page 113, I'm taking your lead after last meeting where you asked for pages and
references. Thanks for giving the reference, yes.
Yeah. There's talk about confidentiality, and I'm just wondering, whenever there's a matter brought to the attention of the council and the authorities, whether there is inherent, particularly with our code of conduct, whether there's that inherent expectation that any complaint and any investigation will be conducted in confidence.
I think there is.
Yeah.
And the point is until the facts are established.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Mayor, recently there was a code of conduct relating to me, and the whole council agenda item was conducted in public, with a finding to go on to another agency. Do you find that extraordinary in terms of your expectations with this particular reference?
Well, I'll refer to Ms. McKenzie about what happened on that occasion. I can't remember all the details.
Through the chair, if my memory stands to see what it is, what happened in that occasion was that the matter had been decided by council and there was a finding made against the code of conduct. Under our code of conduct procedure, once a finding has been made, it becomes public, and then that was when that matter became public. What happened was there was a failure to comply with one of the recommendations, and then that was why it came back to council for further consideration. As the matter was already public, how council dealt with that was obviously debated within a public environment.
Right. So as I thought, up to the point of the facts being established by council, However that is done, it should be a confidential process. But once there is a finding that certain behaviour occurred, then, and it's a breach, then that can be made public and should be.
Well, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Holt. Yeah.
Mr. Mayor, a finding is fine, and I understand that. Whether it goes to council or to the ombudsman or whatever, once a finding is made, there's a good possibility it becomes public, and so it should. However, in this instance, there was no investigation, missed a critical step.
What is required, if the question of fact comes before the council, is for the council to decide what the facts are, whether there's been a breach or not. Sometimes that might mean getting a consultant and tens of thousands of dollars of legal costs. Sometimes it might be established very simply in the meeting. Sometimes the evidence is overwhelming and the decision is a very quick one. So how the council actually establishes the facts of a particular case is up to the council, as long as it is, a reasonable approach to the evidence. So I reject the notion there that there was a missing step. But if you want that fully explored, it's not really a matter for this motion that's before council. If you have a grievance about that, you'll have to see Ms. McKenzie about taking it up somehow.
Okay, thank you.
No one speaking against. I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour? That's carried in. All those against? Sorry, it may be delays in transmission, but I get hands coming up at different times. So can I just ask those in favour of adopting the policy to put up your hand and just leave it there for a few seconds? Okay, now I've got everybody. That's unanimous. Thank you. Just that the internet takes a long time to get through sometimes. All right, we're on to. Someone would like to move the work health safety report and the finance report on block. Obviously, questions can be asked about either. Councillor Telfer is moving that way. Did you wish to speak to that, Councillor Telfer? No. Councillor Hutchinson seconded. Wish to speak to that? No. Any questions, Councillor Gard?
Yes, Your Worship. Just on page 123, table 3, lost time injuries reported. I just want to double check that chart is in fact right. My memory is not serving me well on the previous one, and we have a whole row of zeros. Can someone just confirm that that is accurate?
Mr. Harrison would like to answer.
Thank you, through the chair. With a great deal of pride, actually, it is absolutely correct. Sadly, you will see in the following report that on the 7th of March, we did have a lost time injury, which was a recurrent back injury of one of our staff. But no, I think it was 273 days we had without a lost time injury. So it was an exceptional result, has been year to date, with only one lost time injury for the whole financial year.
Very, very good news. Very well. If there are no more questions, I'll put that to the vote. All those two motions on block, all those in favour, raise your hand. It's carried unanimously. Thank you. So just one more item on the agenda. Councillor Crossland has a motion in relation to a particular street down there. Now, I do want to say something beforehand. The last meeting, I think it was, some of the councillors from the southern part of the council in particular voted to stop parking improvement in a particular street in Glengarry. And I just ask everyone to put that out of their mind. We have to take each case as it comes, look at it on the merits of this particular case, these particular few residents in High Cove. So Councillor Crossland, take it away. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm not sure why you think LED lights are compared with parking. Perhaps you could explain. I'm a bit lost there.
I'm quite happy to. The fact is that minor issues like this are often dealt with at an administration level because of the peculiarity of a petition coming to council. The parking arrangements on Mitchell Street, Glengowrie were debated in council, and a majority, particularly those from the southern part of the council, had a view about it, and there are a couple of lost motions, and that's being worked through at the moment. So the point is that something that ordinarily wouldn't even be, a minor event in a council meeting did become a contentious issue. And now we've got similarly something that ought to be minor and routine, something that a local councillor would normally raise and have addressed quite easily, is also coming to council. And what I'm saying is that we should just deal with it separately as it is and not take into account the fact that, a majority of councillors voted down minor parking improvements in one particular street in the north the last meeting. We don't want to get into that north-south sort of thing. I'm trying to help you out, Councillor Crossland.
Mr. Mayor, point of order.
A point of order?
I hope I'm heard out here. I just find it extraordinary that the Mayor chairing this meeting would draw the members' attention to an issue of angst within the council that's totally unrelated. It's not streetlights, it's car parking. And why would you preface or introduce the motion in that fashion? I'd like you to withdraw that, Mr. Mayor.
So there's no point of order. I'm actually just encouraging everyone to vote on the merits of the issue that Councillor Crossland is putting forward. Order, there is no point of order. I've ruled that. It is quite in order for the Chair to make some prefacing remarks to ensure that the matter is dealt with properly and efficiently. So now, Councillor Duncan, do you have a point of order?
No, I have a question. Just what page are we looking at, please?
Oh, yes, that's a good question. Page 141, is it still 141, Ms. McKenzie? Yes, it is.
Yes.
So it should be the last item on the current agenda. Councillor Crossland, would you like to proceed?
No, I'm still confused. So maybe we could go to Mr. Allen to compare this motion to a parking one and to maybe give some explanation as to why it has to be a motion with notice and it couldn't be dealt with. And whether it is a north-south issue.
Well, I'm trying to prevent this being a north-south issue, Councillor Crossland, but as to why it has to come to council, I think it's fairly obvious, but Mr. Allen, go ahead.
Thank you, through the Chair. Back in November, Council resolved to proceed with a number of LED street lighting upgrades, including in the coastal ward. It was very specific on how we were going to consult with the community, and that was to inform those residents on Balboa that we will be transitioning the lights. Now, as a result of the two complaints, this is why the motion with notice has come back to Council to then change the consultation process to ask the residents whether they want to retain the existing lights or change them over to LEDs.
All right, Councillor Crossland, would you like to move your motion?
No, I still think we now need some more clarification. So can you explain to me if this was something that happened across council or is it something that happened in different areas?
Sorry.
Sorry, somebody's shouting over me. I don't know if you can hear that, Your Worship.
I can hear you. So you've got another question for Mr. Allen, I think. But just before we deal with that, Councillor Lewis, do you have a point of order?
I'd just like the motion to be put and I'm happy to support it on its merits.
Well, I don't think Ms. McKenzie can advise, but I don't think mm-hmm. that one can move a motion to be put when the motion
yes,
hasn't
you
been
can.
Moved.
I believe you can. So you can move that a motion be put. If he moves that way, he needs to second it, and then it goes straight to the... No, you're probably correct in that we haven't had a mover and a seconder.
We don't have a motion.
We don't have a motion on the table. Yeah.
So there's no point of order that the motion
can't...
can't
get the motion happening because it's...
I think we're all feeling that. But Councillor Crossland, I'll ask Mr. Allen, did you get Councillor Crosson's question?
Through the chair. So the agenda item addressed by council on the 23rd of November included all the wards and updates for the LED transition for all wards.
Very well. Councillor Crosson, are you now going to move your motion?
I'll move the motion, but I will preface it with I agree with Councillor Hall. The chairing has been very unfair, and it's becoming a bit of a pattern with the chairing that add advice.
You need to be careful on reflecting on the chair. That can be a problem in itself. Might be something that is best taken up in one of our informal meetings.
I would pass that same advice on to you, Your Worship, if that's the way we're going to take it. I'm happy to discuss it offline. I'll move the motion as printed, and I wasn't really going to have to speak to it, I didn't believe, but I will now. This is something which has been a transition across council. There are a number of areas that have had lights changed to heritage LED lights. When the motion was originally put, I was under the belief that all residents had had the opportunity to comment. Unfortunately, that was incorrect. In fact, the residents of these two streets were only aware that council was about to change the lights when the lights started being removed. I've checked with staff and that is correct. They didn't actually know that that was happening. So the reason I didn't receive any complaints against the changeover was because nobody was aware of it. Now I am aware that that happened. I think out of procedural fairness, these people should have the same vote that the rest of our residents had across council. And if the residents themselves decide to keep heritage lights, then so be it. That's the same as we did everywhere else. If in fact they don't have a majority, then let's just put the post-top ones on. And that's as simple as that.
Thank you. Is that motion seconded? Councillor Gard.
Yes, I support everything Councillor Crosson says. I don't support the classification of votes, north and south. I think it's very divisive, Chair, and I hope that never happens again. Got nothing more to say.
Yes, agreed. Anyone speaking against the motion? Then I'll put the vote. All those in favour? Those against? No, that. All those against? Sorry, again, the problem is more the internet transmission, I think. I'm getting delayed votes at different times. So could everyone in favour please just put up their hand and leave it there for a few seconds? Yes, that is carried unanimously. Thank you. So I declare the meeting closed.
And a point of order, Mr. Mayor?
I did close the meeting.
Well, the point of order is we haven't finished the agenda.
Ms. McKenzie, are there any more items on the agenda?
Through the chair, no, there's not.
Questions without notice, Mr. Mayor.
Then no questions without notice are being accepted.
It's only an early meeting.
The meeting is declared closed since we have finished all the business of the meeting. Thank you.